Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. According to a recent USDA study, 16.5% of all U.S. households with children experienced food insecurity in 2016. That includes about 6.5 million children. And now that summer's here, food insecure families can struggle especially hard as kids are no longer able to get free meals at school. But the Lee County School District's Food and Nutrition Department is working to combat hunger among students over the summer months by providing free, nutritionally balanced breakfasts, lunches, and snacks for local kids under 18 at a number of locations throughout the county. The district held a kickoff event for the initiative yesterday in Cape Coral aimed at expanding the reach of its program and connecting with families that haven't taken advantage of its summer food program in the past. Sponsored by the USDA's Summer Food Service Program, it typically serves about 10,000 meals every day to kids in Lee County alone at more than 100 locations, including in summer school, at summer day camps, parks, and other public areas. Joining me now for a closer look at the program, the challenges of food insecure households, and the link between proper nutrition and academic performance is Lee County School District Food Service Director Lauren Couchoua. Lauren, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
Did I get that right?
You did great.
All right. And we're also joined in studio by Brianna Gustafson. She's the Marketing Supervisor for the School District's Food and Nutrition Services Department. Brianna, thanks for taking time to be with us as well.
Thank you for having us.
And if you'd like to join our conversation, you are, as always, invited to join the show by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU. Talk. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So let's start with yesterday's kickoff event. How did it go? Who showed up? And what sort of information got out there?
Yesterday's kickoff was more than I had expected. This is the first kickoff that the county had planned. And it was great. We had a lot of kids in the park. We had some different camps at Jim Jeffers Park yesterday who didn't necessarily eat, but they know that the food will be available there every day now. We did have a lot of parents, a lot of families come to the park. They all got a menu. They all got a list of the different locations throughout the county. So we hope that drives a lot of participation this year. And it was just a great event to kick off the summer.
How did you get the word out about the kickoff event? Did that go home with students before the school year ended? Or how? What was the marketing effort behind that?
We really did a big social media push this year. We used Facebook as our main communication tool. We sent out a press release last week, and the response was just pretty overwhelming.
Okay. Well, let's start with the basics of how kids are fed at school in Lee County. Lauren, my daughter goes to school. Am I mistaken in that at some point recently all kids get free lunch, or is that – can just flesh all that out for us, please.
Sure thing. That'll actually take effect next year. We are participating in something called the Community Eligibility Provisions Program. Right now, all but six of our schools were under that program this past school year.
Okay.
But next year, we've been fortunate enough to move forward where all Lee County schools in the public system will be operating under the CEP program. So that provides meals at no charge to the students for breakfast and lunch.
And is that high school students as well?
Everybody. Elementary, middle, high school, K through 12, all of our schools.
How is that funded, or how is that made possible? It used to seem like there was a you had to prove who made what, and it was complicated,
yeah.
But it sure makes it easy. But how is that all funded?
Well, this is so much easier now. So we are federally funded, and we get reimbursements for the meals we provide to the students. Our reimbursement is based on our previous year's participation numbers. So if we look back about 5 years ago, our economically needy population was at about 70% for Lee County.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we ended the year at 95%.
Wow.
So you can see that the need is out there in Lee County. So with that, we kind of took the numbers and said, who can we kind of clump together? So even though one school may have a 99% economically needy rate, and then the school just down the road might only have a 45, if we combine them together and group schools together, we were able to put everybody under the CEP program to be able to provide their meals for free.
Gotcha. Do you have any idea how that compares to neighboring counties? Because I mentioned that to one of my coworkers who went to school in Collier County, and that
mm-hmm.
seemed like a foreign concept to her.
Yeah, it depends. It's definitely county by county. What works for each county is going to be based on their own needs. Collier is definitely a unique situation. They're a very large county, and there might be pockets where that is needed and pockets where it's not. However, just like we had in Lee County where we didn't have everybody under the CEP program, they could still operate some of their schools under that if they were to proceed with moving forward for applying for the program. So it's just on a county-by-county basis, and I don't know enough about other counties
to
speak to that.
That's okay. Were you around? Have you been around the district long enough to have been there during the economic downturn that we experienced a while back?
I'm going on 7 years with the district.
Okay,
now.
So you were not quite in that zone. I'm just trying to figure out how hard it must have been a hit when the housing market crashed and the unemployment rate spiked. I guess we've probably climbed out of that, but it sounds like the need is still really strong.
We did. We are seeing a large student population growth within Lee County itself. Every year we get about 1,200 to 2,000 students every year coming into our county. So we are one of the few counties in Florida that is growing, which is a good thing. You know, we're having more people come in and we're seeing the economy go up in our area. But at the same time, some of those coming in are on what would have been our free and reduced programs, which is speaking back to that application process you were talking about. Well, with CEP, we don't have to worry about that application process anymore. So we are seeing that the CEP program is allowing a lot of students to participate in these meals at no charge to them. And when we look at our numbers, we can see that even the students that were qualifying as free and reduced before, they weren't necessarily eating with us because there was a stigma to those students before.
That's the nice thing about the blanket coverage is that the stigma's gone, right?
It is. Everybody's on the same playing field. I eat for free. You eat for free. There's no, you know, oh, you're one of our free students. We don't have to deal with that anymore. So
right. It
allows us to get these meals to the students that is so needed. I mean, again, when I say that, you know, we ended at 95% economically needy, that need is out there. But the students were just too embarrassed before. So it's nice that we're now reaching that population that really needs it.
So this summer program, like at the event yesterday, are there parents who are relieved or surprised to know that there will be summer food as well?
I think a couple of them were happy to see us there, happy to see us being actively involved and letting them know this is a resource for you in the community instead of, you know, there's nothing to be shy about. We're here for you. We're not only trying to reach the lower income families who may not be able to afford lunch in the summertime, but we want to, you know, we want to reach the moms who are just taking their kids to the park for the day. Don't worry about packing a meal in the morning. Just come to the park, enjoy the day, and we're going to feed you.
How does it work in terms of let's start with the where. Where are the places that it will be and how are those places selected?
We have over 100 sites this year. I don't have the list right in front of me.
Okay.
But we have over 100 throughout the county. Some of them are camps. Some of them are summer schools. And then some of our sites are some of our schools are just meal prep sites.
Okay.
So not every school is a summer feeding site. So, for example, we do a lot of collaboration with the YMCA and the community centers and the Boys and Girls Club. So any family interested in finding a location close to them can call 211 or text FOOD, F-L, to 877-877, and then they'll be prompted to put in their area, and they'll be able to find a location closest to them.
And any idea how those locations were chosen? Did they petition the school district? No.
It's just a partnership.
Right.
Again, some of it does have to go to the areas that have a higher need. We want to make sure we're reaching those students because
right.
it is summer and their parents are still working and there's not school buses taking them to these sites. So they
right.
need to be in locations that are accessible.
Yeah, you need to go
them.
The places where they are,
yes.
basically. And you mentioned the food preparation school. So this is food that's being prepared at some schools and then they – how does the mechanics of that work? Do they go on?
It's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole lot of logistics.
Yeah, so we have our prep schools that are making the meals for them, and some of them are serving the students at those sites, but others have to put that in coolers. So we have a very strict HACCP, which is a hazard control point program that we operate under to make sure that safety and sanitation is being followed and that the meals are delivered at the correct temperatures. So they're put into those coolers and they're delivered to the sites using various different means of transportation to get it to the students. And then sometimes our clubs will come and pick up their meals as well.
Is it the same kinds of foods that kids would be getting over the school year? Is
Mostly.
It basically the same basic? I mean, I can't imagine you're going to reinvent your menu for the summer.
Well, you got to get a little bit more creative.
Well, and there needs to be some more portability
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to send, we want to be able to provide the kids with a pizza-like option, but we're not going to send a pizza because that's going to make a big mess. So we do calzones in the summer, for example, to get a little bit more like you said, the transportation part of it and being able to eat it is definitely something we think about when we're making our menus.
And any kids can participate in this? Do they have to prove residency? Do they have to prove that they go to school in Lee County? I mean, if somebody was visiting with their cousin and they went to the park, they could eat.
18 and under, and we'll take you. It does not matter where you're from. You could be visiting from Michigan and come across some of our summer sites or feeding sites, and you will get a meal if you're 18 and under.
I'm joined by Lauren Couchois. She's Food Services Director with the School District of Lee County, and Brianna Gustafson, who is Marketing Supervisor for the District's Food and Nutrition Services. We're discussing the District's Summer Food Service Program. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So can we talk a little bit about the connection between nutrition and education? That seems like something that would be like up your alley, right?
Absolutely. It's something I'm very passionate about. It's something I'll talk way too long about, so keep me in line.
I will rein you in.
So there is definitely a connection between not just what we eat, but eating in general, right? I mean, it's very easy to say that when you're hungry, you don't concentrate as well. Mm-hmm. So we have actually seen that in Lee County. We were fortunate to have some schools step forward and say, you know, I need help with my test scores. We're trying to help our kids do better. How can food service help us do that? So we implemented something called Breakfast in the Classroom at some of our locations. This is where the students, it does not matter if their bus was late, you know, if they're one of the morning activities children.
Oh, I see what you're getting
They
at.
Get to yeah. eat in the classroom no matter what. So everybody eats as a group. At some of those locations that we did that, we were actually seeing that not only were their test scores were doing better, but they had less behavioral incidences and also less trips to the clinic. So when we kind of watched that throughout the year, we were noticing that the less trips to the clinic were due to those kids that were visiting the clinic, because if you went to the clinic, you got crackers and juice.
Right, right.
So now we don't have to have that time away from the classroom anymore, because those students are now staying in their classroom because they're getting fed breakfast in the classroom. Mm. So there's a huge connection to just not being hungry. And yeah. I think that's it sounds so simple, yet,
right.
you know, and as adults, we know what it's like to be hungry, and it's hard to work when you can't
focus. Hangry, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you hear these things, you know, you hear these big sort of top-level studies, but to be able to just show it in a classroom in the district mm-hmm. and try it out and then see results kind of makes it irrefutable, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. When you can see it happen in action right on your own doorstep, it's very impactful that way.
Hmm. How has food at school changed over the years? Like from when I was, you know, well, maybe not. I don't know. But you know what I mean? I have a feeling like it's gotten better over the years,
oh,
right?
Oh, it has. Yes, absolutely. So I always say, you know, school food isn't what it was when I was in school. It's just not the same anymore.
Right.
We have a lot of regulations we have to abide by according to the Hunger-Free Kids Act. And so that involves things like we have to provide whole grains, lower fats, lower sodium, items like that. We have to provide fruits and vegetables. Well, Lee County has gone a step above that. And we have taken those minimums and we've set our own. So just because we have to provide so many fruits and vegetables in a week, there's nothing in there that states we have to provide fresh. But we do. We take that upon ourselves to say, no, you must provide fresh fruit and vegetables all week long. Somewhere in there, we're going to cut up fresh fruit for you, provide berries and watermelons, all kinds of fun new fruit this past year that we implemented to the students. And it's definitely noticeable when the kids come in and it is fresh cut fruit day. They love stuff like that. We also work very hard to implement farm to school within our district. So we have a great partnership with Oaks Farms down in Naples that helps us get local food not only from the Lee County area but also from Collier County as well. So we're constantly not only just providing fresh produce to our students, it's local. And I'm very proud to say that any day of the week, no matter what, there will be at least something local on that student's tray that they're eating that was fresh grown right here. And I think that that's a huge accomplishment to be able to say that we're doing for our students. And a lot of people just don't know we're doing it.
Any schools have farm or, you know, gardens
yeah.
that are producing for their classroom or for their cafeterias?
Yeah, we have a few and a few upcoming. So right now, Trafalgar Middle is the one that comes right to the top of my mind, that they have a gorgeous school garden. It started as a building construction project and it just completely got out of hand in the best way possible. And they provide fresh produce for their salad bar in the school there on a daily basis. And we have other schools like Island Coast with their up-and-coming hydroponics and aquaponics program as well. The Alva School is coming on board. They're going to be doing some great things with sustainable farming out there. And I'm sure a few others that I'm not thinking off the top of my head that have, even if it's not something where they're producing enough to put in the cafeteria, Littleton is another one where they might produce enough. You know, for this day, we're going to have the tomatoes from the garden that will be in your student salad that
day. That's both nutritionally beneficial and also just, you know, gets kids to understand the connection between where their food comes from and where
Absolutely. That's
going.
Yeah.
Are there any schools that provide or are there any ways over the summer for kids to get dinners? I heard anecdotally that there's Calusa Middle offers kids take-home dinners. Does that sound possible?
During the school year, some schools do participate in the supper program. During the summer, some sites are breakfast and some sites are lunch, but there are no supper sites as of right now.
No, not in the summer. What we do for the summer is you can do breakfast, lunch, or snack, and some of them participate in one or all three options for those meals. But we don't have a supper program in the summer. Calusa is one of our supper sites for the regular school year.
Okay.
So that might be where they were getting that from.
Yeah, that's what I was – I just had never heard that. That was all new to me.
Oh, it's a fantastic program. We started that about 2 years ago with just one school. Ravy Potorf was our first pilot school to do the supper program. And last year we ended with 37 schools doing it.
Oh, wow.
So it's great because one of the things we're finding is that – sadly, we are sometimes the students' only source of food.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard it where they come in Monday morning and they haven't eaten since Friday with us.
Mm-hmm.
So the supper program was designed to help get food to those students that weren't getting those meals at home. And it's just tremendous.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guests, Lauren Kushwa is Food Service Director at the School District of Lee County. Lauren, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And Brianna Gustafson is Marketing Supervisor for the District's Food and Nutrition Services. Brianna, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
For more information about the Lee County School District's Summer Feeding Program or to find a distribution site near you, visit summerbreakspot.org and click the Find a Site link on the homepage or text FOODFL to 877-877 or dial 211. Our show today was produced by John Davis, Rachel Iacovone, and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.